What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 24th day of April, 2024, right?
Yes.
Okay. And then back there in the glass cage, our producer tonight is none other than the young and talented Style. He's here tonight because he has to be.
That is true, technically, yes.
And right here live, well, almost live, in the studio here, you heard Lisa Hickman.
Good evening, everyone.
And Aaron Ganias.
Hello, and God bless America.
And they're here because they weren't invited anywhere else. And way out there, yonder, in Arizona, we have none other than the parson. Not he's not in Arizona. I just said that to confuse him. No, he's in Missouri.
I'm here because God made me. He told me to be here, so that's why I'm here.
I thought you were there because I was your hero.
Well, actually, it's because God said I should go to work for you. So that's, kind of an order. Hey, is Style really old enough to be an engineer? I mean, he's young compared to us.
That's what they tell me.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
And then we have it's Wendy Wednesday. Wendy's here tonight for two reasons. One is that she likes my singing. The other is that I'm her hero. Right, Wendy?
Whatever you say, Pastor.
All right, there you go.
That's capitulation, Wendy.
All right. Well, so we gotta get into the scripture tonight. Do you remember the title of the message, Joe?
The season of trickery, treachery, and treason.
Absolutely. Boy, and if that's not what we're living with today, really big time.
Yes, it sure is.
And so we're going to pick it up where we left off in Hebrews chapter 11, the chapter of the heroes of the faith, in verse 23. So let's just take it verse at a time, Joe. So go ahead and start with verse 23.
All right. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment.
All right. So now, what do you think that meant, a proper child? He was a proper child.
Well, all the boy children were supposed to be killed. So he was one of those that was, they said he was a good, healthy boy, and they weren't going to let him die.
Well, actually, that word in the Hebrew means comely, a very comely, or that's the same word we use for a beautiful. Comely. He was a beautiful child.
Oh.
Okay, and so what do we say about his parents?
They were pretty courageous.
They were bold, okay?
Yeah, very bold.
Okay, and so
bold as lions.
The penalty for disobeying Pharaoh was probably death or a severe beating to be crippled for life, so, you know, was not a pleasant alternative.
Absolutely. Choosing, go ahead and read verses 25 and 26.
All right. Well, 24.
Okay, yeah.
24.
Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward.
Well, now, here, Moses lived 1,500 years before Jesus became a man, okay?
Exactly.
And so what was he doing?
Demonstrating.
He was foretelling?
Well, he was looking forward. He
forward.
Knew of the promise.
The Messiah, right?
He knew of the promised Messiah. And And he knew that God's eternal promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were worth far more than temporal riches. Remember, they were going to get a savior, a deliverer, okay? And so here now, he knew that he would have become the king. He was next in line to be the king. And he would have had all of the wealth and the riches under hedonism. And so he understood, I mean, with his teaching of his Hebrew mother and father, what would have, you know, that this life is a short life, right?
Right.
And so he opted to go for eternity, didn't he?
Sure did. He decided to, belief. He went by faith.
Absolutely.
That's what this is all about. Our faith gives us what? Courage. Our faith gives us strength. Our
Wendy,
faith
if you have,
helps us to gain knowledge. Right?
Wendy, if you have a question or comment, just jump in there.
Okay, I will.
Okay, so go ahead and read 27 through 29.
By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea, as by dry land, which the Egyptians, assaying to do, were drowned.
All right, so here we take a look at Moses, and this is why Moses was such a great man. What was said of Moses that wasn't said of any of the other prophets?
He was a great lawgiver.
Well, God said, remember what he told Aaron, his brother, and his sister?
Oh.
He said, he said, Moses, I speak to face to face.
Ah, and, that's right, yeah.
And remember when his sister conspired against him, what happened to her?
Yeah, she became a leper.
Yep.
Yeah.
She didn't care for the fact that he married an Ethiopian woman. She wanted a white. So did he give her white?
Yes, leprosy gives you kind of a white skin, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Hey, Pastor, I got a question. I do have a question.
I knew that day would come when you would have. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people think that the Israelites weren't white, that they were black people. What do you say to that?
Well, they were both. Some were very light, some were very dark, and the Ethiopians. If you read over in Isaiah chapter 3, it talks about the daughters of Zion. And one of the things about those daughters of Zion, their skin was very, very light, and because they never went into the sunlight. They were pampered, and they stayed out of the sunlight. But because of that, they burnt easy in the sun. They got sunburned very easy. That was part of their punishment. But so you have just like today, you have Jews today, some that are very light skinned and some that are very dark skinned.
All the way from white through brown, but there aren't any. The only black Jews that I've run into were ones who became Jew by faith through the religion, not by heritage.
Well, Ethiopia. The Ethiopian Jews are dark skinned.
Right. Well, those
Okay. So by faith, go ahead. Read 30 and 31.
By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with him that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace.
Okay, now, by faith, the walls of Jericho. Now, Joe, you and I were both in the military. If today, or let's go back to when we were, back when we were younger, and we were commanded to march around a city for 7 days, what would we have thought of our commander?
We would have thought there were a few beers short of a six-pack.
Yeah, okay. But here, this whole thing is by faith. By faith, told him to march around this huge city for 7 days. Now here, by faith, the harlot Rahab. Now, Rahab here was a harlot. She perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies in her spies with peace. Who would you rather have dinner with, Rahab the harlot or these media whores that we have today and these judicial whores?
Rahab.
Yeah. In fact, she was in the line, the birth line of Jesus.
Yes.
And so
all were born sinners, and we're only what? Saved sinners saved by grace. So
David?
She was also saved through grace, right?
Okay, I don't think his mic is on.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you got to speak right in your
wasn't
mic.
Rahab the great grandmother of David, King David?
Yeah.
Yes.
But that was in the line of the tribe of Judah. So here, go ahead and read verse 32 through 34.
And what shall I say? What shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of the fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens.
Okay, so going back to verse 32, when he said Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, what did they all do? They all did something that they tore down kingdoms.
Yeah.
Okay. And then through faith, they
used them to tear down kingdoms, we probably should say, right?
Right. Okay. Then in verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms and wrought righteousness, obtained promise, and stopped the mouths of lions. Who stopped the mouth of lions?
Well, Daniel. That was actually the Lord Jesus.
Yeah. But he's referring to Daniel the prophet here.
Right, Daniel, yeah.
Okay. They quenched the violence of fire. Who quenched
Shadrach,
the violence
Meshach,
of
fire? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Mm-hmm. Yep, okay, no.
But again, we had, that was the incarnate Christ, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Escaped the edge of the sword. Now, who escaped the edge out of the sword?
David.
David and who else? Gideon.
Gideon. And, yeah.
Right, and also
Hezekiah,
and Barak turned, and he also won at much larger odds was against them.
Well, Samson, with a jawbone of an axe, took on a whole bunch of swords.
Yep, he sure did.
So you could say Samson in that group.
Okay, now, waxed valiant in fight. They waxed valiant in fight and turned to fight the armies of the aliens.
Yeah, I almost missed that.
What is the message for us?
Yeah.
What is the message for us, Joe?
If God calls us and we have the courage to do what he tells us, we can turn away the enemy.
Get all these communists out of office.
Okay, and so we are to stand and fight the armies of the aliens. We're fighting armies and armies and armies of aliens coming on our property today. In fact, here, one of the articles that we're going to have tonight is how some of Joe Biden's illegal aliens, rapists, have snuck into the houses and raped some young girls. You have that article, I think, Joe.
Alien breaks into a U.S. home, sexually assaults two sisters under the age of 13. Yep, we've got that one.
Yeah, I mean, that happens every single day. There's more and more and more of those.
There's another story like that, yeah, almost daily.
And so women
that's
received...
That's what they're reporting. It's probably happened in mass.
That's just what we know about.
Okay, women received their dead raised to life again. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. So who was it that received their dead brought to life again?
Lazarus.
Well, the lady that housed the prophet Samuel when he lay on her son and brought her son back to life.
All right. You had...
The widow of Nain.
Isaiah the prophet had brought back... the woman whose son had become very ill, and they had the very last part of the...
Oh, yeah, what did I say?
It wasn't Samuel, no.
Elisha.
Wrong one.
And so, I said Isaiah, I meant Elijah, the prophet, yeah. And so here now, others were tortured. Who was known throughout history to suffer severe torture?
The Lord Jesus.
Well, Samson.
Samson was,
to turn the grind mill for years, you know. That would be, I'd call that torture.
Well, here, if you read in the book of Maccabees, it goes into it. There were very, very, I was there at Masada. What a place that is. It's huge. But many, many Jews were...
Oh, that's right.
They were tortured, and that's why they were holding up at Masada. But prior to even getting there, many, many were tortured by the Romans. And then many of them jumped to their death from Masada. And so he goes on to say, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. So what was it when it says they, like Moses, refused deliverance? They were told by the Romans, if you deny your God, if you deny your God, the God of Isaac and Abraham, Jacob,
yeah.
If you deny him, you will have your freedom and you can walk away. And so they were given no choice. If you refuse to deny him, if you refuse to acknowledge the Roman God, then you're going
to
get tortured. Den.
The Colosseum.
Yeah, and at the Colosseum, those were the Christians, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so he goes ahead in verse 36. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yet moreover... of bonds and imprisonment. How about Jeremiah? Did he really have a bunch of trials of cruel mockings?
Goodness, yes.
They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. Stephen was stoned. Who was sawed asunder?
Isaiah.
Yes. Isaiah the prophet by Manasseh, the most wicked son of Hezekiah, King Hezekiah. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. There's a lot of caves there in Israel.
Yeah, David's mighty men, and the other would be like John the Baptist wandering around in, camel skin. It said sheepskin. He wandered around in goat skin. Well, they call it a coat of camel hair. But he was destitute, and he ended up being tormented and beheaded. Kind of a torment.
Yeah, I would say. And they all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect.
Without the new covenant, the new testament.
All right. Well, let's take a better look at that.
Abraham's bosom, so, and the Lord, before his resurrection, they all saw him, and they all were allowed to choose, right?
Right. Without the fulfillment of the prophecy and the church being brought in, grafted in is what he's referring to. But here, you'll find a much better answer if you go over to Hebrews chapter 5 and read verses 5 through 10.
All right. 5 through 10. Hebrews chapter 5, right?
Yeah, Hebrews chapter 5.
5, verses 5 through 10. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications, was strong, crying in tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard, and that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all of them that obey him, called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek.
Okay, so Melchizedek is mentioned six different times here in the scriptures. Now, what do you think that meant when it said there, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him? Now, in the Old Testament, going all the way back to the days of Abraham, Melchizedek was the high priest. Who is the high priest today?
The Lord Jesus.
Okay. So then, Melchizedek had no beginning and no end. Who else had no beginning and no end?
Jesus.
Christ, yeah.
So Melchizedek and Christ were one of the same.
They
a lot of people
be,
don't
they
realize
have to
that.
Be
okay.
Because there's no other eternal being.
Right.
No beginning or end means you're eternal, right?
Right. And being what it said there, that without us, that means without being the church being completed and grafted in, the heroes of the faith. Let me read that to you again when it says here, and all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. What was the promise that they had not received?
Salvation.
Right, of eternal life.
Eternal life, because Christ had not yet been crucified and risen from the dead.
So God, having provided some better thing for us, what was that better thing he provided?
Well, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We have the down payment, the promise of eternal life.
Absolutely. And
the Spirit of God.
Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 to 14, huh? All right. All righty.
We're our own high priest now.
Absolutely. And with that,
when you say we don't have a religion, we have a personal relationship with the Savior of the world, with the Christ, the Messiah himself.
Because he says he dwells within us, doesn't he?
Exactly.
And we'll be back right after this. so certain about this faith of mine. I'm hanging in there, doing fine. King Jesus is a friend of mine. I'm blessed by you. Saving babies, teaching sinners. Hell's for losers, heaven's for winners. This work is not for beginners. I'm blessed by you. I'm coming home someday. Heaven's my way. I'm blessed by you. Where the saints all stay and little children play. I'm blessed by you. Where the saints of old walk on streets of gold. I know that I will see that heavenly prize. It's no surprise how happy I'll be. Gonna see my family again. Gonna be with long lost friends. Maybe soon, I don't know when. I'm blessed by you. Gaining treasure, preaching sinners. Hell's for losers, heaven's for winners. This work is not for beginning. I'm blessed by you. I'm coming home someday. Heaven's my way. I'm blessed by you. Where the saints all stay and little children play. I'm blessed by you. Where the saints of old walk on streets of gold. I know that I will see my mansion on high through glorified eyes. How happy I'll be. Oh, some bright day, gonna fly away. It's there I'll stay. I'll be there with you, 'cause your words are true. I'm blessed by you. Alrighty, we're back. I only play that song when Wendy's here. That's the only time because she's my favorite herbalist in the whole wide world. And there you go. Right, Wendy?
If you say so, Pastor.
Boy, you're awful agreeable tonight.
Yeah, Wendy, you're the only one that'll put up with him. Come on, fight back.
All righty, there you go. Listen, I got to do two quick announcements. One, Friday, this coming Friday, April 26th, from 6:30 to 9 p.m., Parkside Church in Bainbridge, Dwayne Ortland is going to be the author of Gentle and Lovely, The Heart of Christ. And he's going to be there because this is a fundraiser. It's a banquet dinner for Agape Christian Academy. And the Agape Christian Academy is one of the best Christian schools around. I know because the people that run it are very good friends of mine. And so, Russ and Sue Gifford there. And if you want more information, it might be too late. My guess is probably might be sold out by now. But if not, I was going to give you the phone number to call them. But it's not here. I can't believe it. It's not on this. Nope, not here. Oh, yes, it is. Here it is. Ready? For more information to see if you can still get tickets, it's 440-834-8022. 440-834-8022. Folks, let me tell you, supporting Agape Christian School is a great, great investment in your children. It really is, because they're a great Christian academy.
Grandchildren.
And grandchildren.
Right. Yep, grandparents can help here. They can help put a child in.
My grandson attends there. And so.
That's a good endorsement, right?
Yep. Here's the other thing I got to tell you is that normally the last Friday of every month, we have Tactical Civics meeting at Doers of the Word Baptist Church, but not this Friday. This Friday is going to be at a different location. And I tell you, if you want to find out where that's going to be, it's going to be very close to the church. You can call Bill Wilds. Bill Wilds. Here's his number. Write this down. I'll give it again because Tactical Civics, a number, the people that were normally there, like I'm normally at those meetings, but we're going to be at the banquet at the same time. The meetings are at the same time. So for you folks that need to, and Tactical Civics is very, very important, especially nowadays. It's taken our country back, folks. You know, there's such things as constitutional grand juries. What they have in Arizona is not a constitutional grand jury. It was a corrupt, an extremely corrupt grand jury. But for more information, call Bill Wilds. Bill Wilds at 440-907-9839. Again, for the Tactical Civic Meeting location, very close to the church, 440-907-9839. The reason I'm not giving you the address, I don't have it, and that's why. But I have his phone number, right?
Right.
Okay. With that, let's go to I know what Wendy is going to be talking about. The rest of you don't, and it's a good subject. Tell them, Wendy. Tell them.
Well, I thought we'd talk about a little bit of a biological weapon topic. People have heard the term before, but they may not understand how that works specifically. So I thought we'd kind of delve into the scientific research on it, and I'll try not to speak over anybody's head with some terms, but try to make it as understandable as possible. But biological weapons, bastards, they're not new. They've been around over 100 years, and the technology today has advanced this area to where any country can manufacture a biological weapon. You can call it a pandemic threat if you want, but it'll still wreak havoc on countless people. So making infectious pathogens more lethal and easily transmissible is a reality, as well as manufacturing less infectious agents and promoting them as novel deadly ones. So manufacturing treatments today have changed, which they can make vaccines very quickly, but they're all promoted as vehicles of protection for these biological weapons. They're not what they seem to be. So, and that is also a reality. And I heard that back in the 90s from Dr. Anthony Norris, the chief virologist of the FDA. And at the time, I really didn't understand that profound statement. But as time goes by, I do. So the additional factor that makes biological threats a deep concern is that this area, like any other, is propagandized. So the public has to discern if a reported threat is serious or a deception to manipulate them in some way for a desired outcome. So it is a reality that medical treatments promoted to protect the public from biological threats can in reality be a biological weapon. Let me read you this quote from the National Library of Medicine Center for Biotechnology. They said this in June 2003. We are witnessing a renewed interest in biological warfare and terrorism, owing to several factors. History tells us virtually no nation with the ability to develop weapons of mass destruction has abstained from doing so. The same knowledge that is needed to develop drugs and vaccines against pathogens has the potential to be abused for the development of biological weapons. Now, that was a profound statement. And let's see, this they went on to say, this in June 2003 also, they said, it has been suggested that information about potentially harmful pathogens should not be made public, but rather put into the hands of appropriate representatives, and to recommend special scrutiny for sensitive documents. Whether or not such measures are useful deterrents might be questionable, because the application of available knowledge is clearly enough to kill. End of quote. So clearly this is the type of a document, you know, where scrutiny today is a reality, where it's, you know, withheld. You don't get full disclosure. And that's being done among your drug companies, your scientific research, and other authorities. So having full disclosure on biological weapons described as a disease outbreak is really considered above our pay grade, Pastor. Hmm. So what you have is man-made disease. So now we're going to get into how they're doing it. So modern science has created a lot of man-made diseases just by combining pathogens. The ones that are usually the most problematic are strains of pathogens science is calling viruses. So the population is talking about the scientific community's development, and they're kind of taking their word for it for the most part. I would say 60% of the population believes them. But viral genetics is a real part of virology. And many scientific reports in the last several decades are kind of reporting animal pathogens jumping to other species, including humans. And many in science are skeptical of this wide variety of animal pathogens suddenly infecting other species in such a short span of time. So it does not seem to be supported by the usual evolutionary model spanning hundreds of years. So you got to take...
Mm-hmm. Would that be like what we're hearing about the bird flu going into cattle and dairy herds?
Yeah, we're going to get into that. Yeah, we're going to get into that, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, very perceptive of you, Pastor Joe. So I want you to take, for example, bird viruses, also called avian influenza. So these do not normally infect humans. When first reports appeared in 1997, they were stating people were getting sick with avian flu, they were mild symptoms. But later, the reports in the media stated mortality cases, of which the public has no way to confirm if any of that was true. Now, in 2007, the FDA approved the release of avian flu called AH5N1 vaccine. So the current influenza shots, you know, your annual flu shots, include two avian influenza strains, usually H1N1 and H3N2. And so why is the AH5N1 strain not included? And basically, nobody's explained that. It's not real clear. But perhaps some statements I found may explain it. This is the National Library of Medicine, Center for Biotechnology, October 2007. They said influenza AH5N1 virus are strong candidates for causing the next influenza pandemic. Now, the CDC said April 2024, the highly pathogenic avian influenza AH5N1 and AH5N6, offering serious illness and high mortality rates, these strains are responsible for most human illness worldwide. Now, they also said only four human infections with low pathogenic avian influenza of AH3N2 viruses resulting in mild to moderate illnesses have ever been identified in the United States. So that's interesting, because they are including that in your flu shot. Now, they also said two human cases of avian influenza of AH5N1 have been reported in the United States, and they also said in 2007, our strategy includes preparation of vaccines from a currently circulating strain to induce broad-spectrum immunity towards newly emerged human avian H5 strains. So what I'm going to explain next is going to really turn the light bulb on, okay? Most people and health professionals do not know what is going into the development of vaccines and how vaccines are altering diseases. Now, in July 2019, the University of North Carolina Healthcare reported they developed a new technique called directed evolution on proteins to evoke new tasks. So I want you to remember, proteins are keys to metabolic functions. So this research was stating that their new method created new evolved creations in a matter of days instead of the old method requiring months. And, of course, science tells the press that their research is in development of new therapeutics to fight disease. Now, the research did get published in the 2019 Journal of Cell. That's July 2019. So the initial groundbreaking scientific work on directed evolution won a 2018 Nobel Prize in chemistry. So in a nutshell, when they're forcing these things to evolve in the lab to infect other species, and they're actually changing the course of diseases. Here is what University of North Carolina said in the Journal of Cell in 2019. They said, directed evolution is an artificial speed-up version of the evolution process. The idea is to focus the evolutionary process on a single DNA sequence in order to make it perform a specific task. Directed evolution is designed to make new therapeutics, and vaccines are in that category. They go on to say, our technique evolved several proteins to perform precise new tasks in a matter of days. This new process allows us to use human cells instead of bacteria cells. So it's kind of a magic trick, if you want to think of it this way. People say, well, how does this technique work? Well, it is a quick and easy approach using viruses as carriers for the gene they wish to modify. They use the virus because it can carry the genetic cargo they want to install. After the virus infects the cell, it mutates rapidly. Additionally, the scientists created this method to enact conditions to allow only the mutated genes to thrive. So these are the genes the scientists have encoded to perform what they want the cells to do. Therefore, your vaccines contain mutated versions of disease, and they do not evolve on their own. It is research like this that has enabled certain pathogens to jump from one species to another. At the University of North Carolina, I added, our research shows the mutant genes with the encoded proteins are capable of activating certain receptors or switching on certain genes because this will work in mammals and mammalian cells and is also used to evolve other cells such as human and animal. So what you were saying, Pastor, that, you know, just like in the days of Noah, they're genetically modifying humans. You were right. That's what they're doing.
Now, there's a question on, because the other side, actually, Pfizer has actually come out and said, look, since they're genetically modified and since we own the patents on the vaccines, then do these people belong to us?
I know, it's a creepy little question, isn't it? That's how they're thinking, though. Basically, reading a lot of these medical journals.
It sounds more like lawfare again, huh?
Well, it's they're very arrogant. They take the kind of the mindset that God didn't finish man, and they're going to help him finish it and make it better. Your immune system, in their opinion, is faulty, and they're going to fix it. So they're changing. They're recreating creation.
Like Nietzsche said? Nietzsche said that God created man in his image, and now through technology, we will return the favor, and man will, God will be what man says he is.
Wow. See
actually,
the arrogance.
Yeah. Actually, they've gone a step further. I don't know if you saw this, but at Chapel Hill, North Carolina, the UNC there, they now have achieved, constructed artificial cells that mimic the behavior of living cells.
Right.
They're
yeah.
calling it a groundbreaking achievement. They said that this could unlock new frontiers in regenerative medicine, drug delivery, diagnosis.
Yep.
And they're talking about now engineering fabrics or tissues and creating their own
synthetic biology
of skeletons. And now they're talking about messing it up with DNA, nanotechnology, protein engineering. And they're working on, you know, creating something that can mix, they're thinking it'll actually mesh with human life, right? If I'm not reading some of this right.
Yeah, it'll have a lot to do with the technology implants and stuff,
yeah.
So, Wendy, the shot you're talking about with this bird flu, is it the modified RNA technology, or are they a traditional
vaccine? Oh, yeah, that's how they're making serums now. They've switched, I mean, all your vaccines are mRNA now. All your childhood serums, everything, your veterinarian serums as well. But, you know, science is, it promotes that they are doing the world and the world population a big favor, but when in fact this work is used for other purposes. So they have even created a system, and it's called the VEGAS system. It stands for Viral Evolution of Genetically Attenuated Sequences. So what this research has provided science is the ability to target specific cells and control that function. Now, I'll give you an example. The cells that make up your cardiac area or your neurological area can be targeted. Different vaccine serums can be created to target different areas and create different side effects or events. So science can target your serotonin, your dopamine receptors in your brain. They can give you a neurological disease like Alzheimer's or prion disease. They are engineering disease. And if the research were being used for good, well, then there would be some cures. But most of your common illnesses like cancer, heart disease, and AIDS, they still haven't gotten a cure. So these days, it's becoming increasingly difficult to trust science. And the Bible warned us of the vain and foolish talk from what was called science. Remember, in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Right. So it is difficult for people and even healthcare professionals to
realize. Yes, but Wendy, it's much, much more profitable, okay, to treat the symptoms than it is to cure the disease.
Right. And your healthcare professionals have been trained in this business profile, if you will, and they may not even realize your vaccines are putting people at risk of disease, because adding the avian strains or the bird flu strains to your regular influenza vaccine have actually created the mutated versions of your avian flu that are now popping up as well all over the world. So the vaccines do not promote antibody protection, and I heard that from Dr. Anthony Norris in the 90s, former chief virologist of the FDA. He had access to all the raw clinical data, which, you know, he absolutely probably was shocked to learn that, you know, and he told me vaccines aren't what we think they are. They're there to seed the body with disease. You don't get hardly any antibody protection. If you get any protection, it's fleeting a few weeks, maybe, he says, or he did say. So that they don't promote antibody protection, and they are designed for that. Okay, wrap your brain around that. It's the opposite of what you're being told. So they are vehicles to control metabolic functions, seed the body with disease, suppress your natural immunity, control fertility, and also population control through mortality.
Uh-huh, control fertility. In other words, that's one of the ways to depopulate the world, right?
Yeah,
if
I mean...
sterile men and sterile women, we don't have a height right now. We're way under the reproductive rate necessary to maintain a civilization or a society. And if we get more and more sterile people, then we reduce the world's population of, what's that word, where mathematical progression?
Yes.
It'll get faster and faster and faster, the reducing the population, right?
Exponential growth.
The what?
The exponential growth.
Yeah, thank you. I couldn't think of the word exponential. Yeah, thanks.
Well, if you may not know this, Pastor Larson, that the tetanus shot was re-engineered over a decade ago, and it was tested in Africa. Okay, so what they did is, with protein switches, made women who got this tetanus shot actually allergic, if you will, to being pregnant. So when an egg got fertilized, and then it would attempt to attach to the side of the uterine wall to get nourishment and grow, there was a chemical reaction, and the fertilized egg could not attach.
Okay, so the attachment was prevented then. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
So the baby dies, and you have a nothing happens, no life.
Right. Yeah. So they were successful at that because that shot prevented that for anywhere from 7 to 10 years of a woman's life, and that's a significant chunk of her childbearing years, especially if you're vaccinating a woman maybe in her mid-20s. Yeah, so she wouldn't have a baby until after she was, 35.
When did they start giving this shot?
Because that's something I never saw. I thought, boy, that'd be something to put out in the newsletter.
Well, and here's the thing. If parents were paying attention, a lot of your public school systems, especially your middle school area, would send these cards out to parents that your child needs to get a booster shot for tetanus. And they would say something to the effect of, your child's tetanus shot is expired by 1 or 2 days and you have to be compliant and you can't return to school until this is taken care of. You have 30 days. Haven't you noticed there's the pregnancy, teenage pregnancy is way down?
I guess I haven't noticed. For so many years, it was so high, it just became kind of a normal thing. And I guess, I haven't noticed that.
Yeah.
There's been so many things going on that we try and keep track of. It's,
right. So basically, this is why, when the World Health Organization shows up in Africa with vaccines, that's why the natives run.
Run, right. You know? They don't want to because they realize,
Yeah, they're being experimented on, and they don't like it. So basically, I read a report from an internal medicine infectious disease guy who said that tetanus, if you clean the wound really well, you won't get tetanus. He says tetanus usually occurs if you're not cleaning your puncture wound or whatever you have well. He says it's rare to get tetanus, but everybody gets a tetanus shot.
Wendy, we're coming up on 2 minutes before the break, and we know that you always run off and leave me.
These days, I do. I have to run them.
Well, you better give yourself a big commercial then.
Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, certainly. If anybody would like a catalog from Apothecary Herbs, we specialize in immune support, toxin removal, metabolic support items. They can give us a call at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. We have a website as well, thepowerherbs.com. They can request a catalog there. And also, we have saving coupons up on the website and in the catalog, so there's always a way to save.
All right. And you have the very, very best natural medicines out there.
Well, thank you, Pastor. We did add a new blog for those people that are hunting information. We have some herbal highlights there, some very interesting things, articles there. So let us know what you think. It's all about empowering you with information.
It's because, God has given us the natural herbs. God has given them to us. Big pharma has given us the drugs.
With the goal pharma of keeping us sick.
And there you go. And those drugs are killing people in large, large numbers. As prescription drugs, we have over 250,000 people die a year in America just on prescription drugs. Add another 100,000 on fentanyl.
Yeah, I had one doctor say it's more like 100,000 people, and that number is still underreported. Mm-hmm.
All righty. Well, we're coming up to the break. Thanks for being here, Wendy. You always do a good job.
Thank you. I appreciate you so much.
Thanks, Wendy.
We love having you.
All right.
All right. God bless, and have a great night, young lady.
You as well. Bye.
Okay, we'll be back right after this with a whole lot more. Don't go away.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.